But we're talking about our spiritual hearts, looking at the condition of our hearts. So our key verse tonight is in Jeremiah 17, and verse 10 is where our key verse for this whole study is located. It is, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Oh my, right? We see that verse. God's going to give us exactly the shape of our heart. And so in this study, this is our key verse for this study. In this study, God is searching our hearts constantly. He's trying the reins, and you'll understand that phrase in just a few moments. But He's going to try the reins, and He's going to give to every person, every human being, according to your ways and according to the fruit of your doings. So tonight, as we gave out these little cards, everybody seems to love this, so I'll keep doing it until y'all tell me to stop. But there's some extras down here as well. So on the back, there's some new categories. So what are your expectations for this study? What are you hoping to learn? Again, this is for your own good. This is for your personal study, not to turn in. Then how did the Holy Spirit work in your life this week because of the message? What is the condition of your spiritual heart? Be honest with yourself. What is the condition of your spiritual heart? And this fourth one is going to make sense in just a little while. What type of tree do you desire to be, and what changes will you have to make to be that type of tree? And then the last one, who will you pray for that you know embodies this statement, whose heart departeth from the Lord? And again, that will be mentioned in tonight's message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the day that you've given us. And Lord, we know that you have the weather in your palm of your hand and can blow through the wind currents and move it and change the weather predictions. And we know you're in charge. And Lord, we're going to give you the honor and glory for whatever's done, whatever we get this weekend. Keep us all safe. Protect us. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us as we open this study to truly, truly examine our hearts. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. The heart is truly an amazing organ. We have an amazing heart. Our heart is responsible for pumping life-giving blood to 75 trillion cells in our bodies. 75 trillion cells. And can do so in 1 minute. Are we fearfully and wonderfully made? No way that we were evolved into this amazing creature that God has created. So each day, our heart will beat approximately 100,000 times. And it carries 2,000 gallons of oxygen-filled blood through 60,000 miles of blood vessels. How in the world's all that fitting here? Well, God knows. Over our lifetime, our heart will pump over 1 million barrels of blood. The fact of the matter is that without our heart functioning properly, we cannot live to our fullest potential. A healthy heart is vital to our well-being and our overall health. The heart is the most vital of organs in the human body. People can live even if they're missing certain valuable members of their bodies. People live without hands and legs and feet and eyes and ears, but you can't live without a heart. Not only is the heart the most vital organ, but it is also considered to be the center or the source of our emotions, of our personality, of our thoughts, or of our feelings. The heart is closely connected with our mood, with our energy, with our convictions, and our nature. Daily we use the word like heartache, heartbroken, heartfelt, heartless, heartsick, after one's own heart. A change of heart. From the bottom of one's heart, to have a heart, it's in one's heart of hearts. With all one's heart, or with half a heart, lose heart and nearest to one's heart. The heart is that central of our being that gives us that continual pumping of blood that gives us life. It's the element of our physical life. And we should, hopefully we are, we should take great care in maintaining its health so that we will not suffer heart attacks or heart failure. We should be careful to exercise and to eat properly, to check our cholesterol levels and to obey the orders of the doctors. Unfortunately, heart disease has become one of the top causes of death of Americans today. Some type of heart disease. The reality is that when our hearts, our physical hearts, become diseased, they're weakened. And they lead to less energy, less strength, and could lead to loss of life. So it's interesting that in creating our physical heart to function in such a life-giving and necessary way, God uses the terminology of our heart throughout the Scriptures to speak of our spiritual condition. Just as our physical heart can diagnose our physical condition, our spiritual heart can diagnose our spiritual condition. If we were to concentrate on our spiritual heart as much as we concentrate on our physical heart, we would be better Christians for the Lord. Hearing these things can make us cringe and will make us cringe during this series. This is going to be a challenging series because we all know the nature of our hearts today. We all know the condition of our hearts. We all are familiar with the understanding of the terminology cold-heartedness, and it's a real thing. And we can just look in our communities and see people that are not in church that used to be in church. And what happened? Cold-heartedness can happen to us. We're not as attentive to our spiritual heart as we should be. We know that there is a condition there, but we choose to ignore it. So as we begin this new series, we're calling it A Heart Matter. Let's turn our attention to not just our physical heart's condition, but the spiritual heart's condition. You know, the word heart in some form or fashion is found in over 800 passages in the Scriptures. And these include many great verses and great passages that we all know and love. For this series, chapter 17 of the book of Jeremiah and verse 10 is our key verse. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. That's enough to make us shake. That's enough to make us concerned. How's my heart? How's it doing? Because God's searching it. He's trying it. And verses 1 through 18 of the book of Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah is, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing about the heart of man. And he's zeroing in on this topic, a heart matter, and that God is concerned about our hearts. So let's look tonight at the condition of our hearts. Notice with me in verse 1. The condition of our heart. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of their altar, of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. In verse 4, and thou even thyself shalt disconnect from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land, which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. Oh my, it doesn't sound like their heart's doing real good, does it? It sounds like their heart is in a difficult place. It sounds like a diseased heart. God's anger is against them. Listen to this description of the people's heart, and this is not some group of the Philistines. This is not some group of the Amorites or the Canaanites. This is God's people. This is the people of the tribe of Judah he's talking about. The sin of Judah, it begins. Jeremiah is speaking to the southern kingdom. He's saying, your hearts are full of sin. Their sin, it says, is engraved and written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. Where is it written at? The table of their heart. A pen of iron and a point of a diamond is giving us the understanding this is engraven in their hearts. And then it says, and is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Jeremiah is describing this as an inside problem. It's not an outside problem, this is an inside problem. Their sin is engraved on their hearts and in their actions. It is in the way they think. What does that phrase, upon the horns of your altars, mean? It's not only engraven on their hearts and then forth those forth their actions, but it's also in the way they think, but also in how they worship the horns of their altar. Now, I want us to think of this picture God has given us of iron and diamond engraving on the table of our hearts this sin. And then the engraving on the horns of the altars of worship. We do not consider the effect that our sin has on us. We do not consider how our sins affect our thinking. We do not consider how our sins affect our worship. We do not think and consider how our sins can affect our families. Their sin, the children of Judah, their sins is chiseled on their hearts. It's going to impact their hearts. It's going to impact their minds. It's going to impact their actions. It's going to impact their worship. It's going to impact their lives. It's going to impact their families. But mostly it's going to impact their relationship with God. This is not what God wants etched on our hearts. He does not want us to take a pen of iron and a diamond, a point of a diamond, and engrave on the table of our heart our sins. That's not what God wants us to etch on our hearts. Hold your place in Jeremiah and go back to Deuteronomy and chapter 6. Let me show you what God wants. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 6. Deuteronomy 6, 6, in these words, which I command thee this day. What do those next few words say? Shall be in thine heart. What has God been talking about in Deuteronomy? The covenant. The covenant between Moses and God. The people of God and God. Chapter 11. Look in Deuteronomy 11 and verse 18. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, another amazing verse of what God wants in our hearts. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy 11, 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, they may be as frontlets between your eyes. So what does God want us to have on our hearts? His words. Not sin. His words. Mercy and truth were supposed to be filling our hearts. That's over in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. We'll be back to Jeremiah. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. Proverbs 3:3. This is what God wants us to put on the table of our heart. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them, mercy and truth, about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So to the children of Judah and to the tribes of Judah and to the tribes of the southern kingdom and Israel, they were etching and engraving onto their hearts with a pen of iron, a point of iron, and a diamond pen, and they're etching, engraving in their hearts, not the things God wanted, but their sins. And so their lives have now been impacted, and their nation is being impacted, their kingdom is being impacted, their kings are being infected, their families are, their personally are, their lives are, their worship is. Their sins were in the place of where mercy and truth should have been and God's word should have been. Back in Jeremiah, this, though, shouldn't shock us. This is the nature of sin. We don't think much about it. Once we sin, we're like, oh, I just need to pray. 1 John 1:9 is still in the Bible, so God's going to forgive it. Yes, He will. Yes, He will. But that's not what God wants from you. God doesn't want to have to be a constant forgiver of sin and nothing else. He wants to be our God. He wants to be our Lord. He wants us to look to Him. Not to our sin, not to our mistakes, not to our misgivings, not to our little light lies, not to our little indiscretions. No, God says that's sin. We've become addicted to our sin. We've become habitual in our sin. What does sin lead to? More sin. And more sin leads to eventually death. But what is sin doing in our lives but breaking fellowship with God? If you have broken your fellowship with God, you can't worship the same than before you broke your fellowship with God. You can't read your Bible and pray the same way if you're living in sin. You have unforgiven sin, unrepented sin. Our heart's position then, our spiritual heart, is diseased. And that could lead to death. Sin engraves itself in our hearts, changes who we are and how we think and how we feel and what we think about God. There's a reason that the Proverbs teach us to guard our hearts above all else. That's another lesson coming in a few weeks. Because it's the source of life, physical life, but also spiritual life. But the people of Judah and we ourselves have not done what God has told us to do. Guard our hearts above all else. What we have done and what the people of Judah have done is taken a pin of iron and a point of a diamond and written their sins on the table of their hearts. It's habitual. Sin's controlling. We submit to it. Rather than control it, we submit to those desires, those little pleasures. That's why verse 3 and verse 2, 3, and 4 of Jeremiah 17 says judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. These were God's people. He cannot let sin continue on without chastisement in His children. Just the same in our lives. He cannot allow sin to go on and on and on without chastisement. And that chastisement is to try to bring us back to Himself, to ask for forgiveness, to ask and to repent and to get back a good relationship with God. But there's judgment coming for the children of Judah. So we see the heart's condition, but what led to this direction of the heart? Well, verse 5 helps us. 5 through 8 gives us the heart's direction. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the flesh. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. God begins by pronouncing a curse. In verse 5, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. What's wrong with trusting in man? Well, we understand this passage is talking about the sin of Judah. They weren't just trusting in man and trusting in God. They were trusting in man and not trusting in God. Or maketh flesh his arm. They're relying on the strength of others or their own strength instead of God's strength. These words should strike home because this is what we do. We rely on others. We rely on our strength. We rely on abilities. We rely on talents. We rely on finances. And all the while, God's here saying, I'm right here. I'm right here. I want you to come to me. Our default is our own strength, our own wisdom, or the strength of others. We trust people. We trust in people. You take out a coin, like a U.S. quarter, what does it say on the back of it? In God we trust. But we choose to trust in people. We try to find our strength in others' strength. We put our hope in others' hope. We also go to the opposite extreme and try depending just on ourselves instead of others. We act like we don't need anyone. We all need someone. This results, if we go down this road too far, we start relying not on others anymore, but we're relying on ourselves. We're going to go down this road where our heart's being changed. It's being engraved with the sins, our sins. It's on the horns of the altars of our worship. And we don't have altars. We don't have horns on our altars. But our sin that is affecting our heart is going to affect our worship. It has to. So as we progress with allowing our sins to be engraven in our hearts, it affects us, changes us. Remember, the heart is the source of our feelings and emotions, our energy, becoming lethargic. Say, oh, Sunday night, that's 5 o'clock, it's just too late. They won't miss me 1 week. 7 o'clock on a Wednesday. That's just, work's been hard all day. Traffic's horrible. It's cold out. They won't miss me on a Wednesday night. Well, we'll miss you. But you know who really misses you? God. What does our key verse say? He searcheth our hearts and He trieth the reins. He's examining us and He's searching us. And if we have allowed our sins to be engraved on our hearts, we're going to begin missing a church service or two. It might not seem like a big deal, but do you remember COVID? We were preaching to the balcony. Ms. Daphne joined a church about that time. And Daphne came in during COVID and just sit down, we'll preach to you. And there's a couple people here. You remember how hard it was to come back? How it got so easy not to be in church? Or you take a siesta from coming to church. I've had those periods in my life. Well, you're a preacher. Yeah, well, I'm also a human. And I've had that season in my life where I've sort of, oh, I don't need to go Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know how hard it is to come back and be faithful to God? It's hard. Because you get used to. You fill up your time. You fill up your schedule. And that's what Satan loves. He's like, oh yeah, they're missing Sunday night. They're missing Wednesday night. Let's fill up that schedule. Let's give their children ball games and practices. Let's give them dance recitals. Let's give them music lessons. Let's make them work overtime. God's going to fill it. Or God, not God. Satan's going to fill it. And before long, you're a Sunday morning Christian. And that's it. And if you keep going down that road, you're not even going to be in church anymore. You're not going to open your Bible anymore. You might be reading you'd be reading 3 or 4 chapters a day, and you go down to 1 chapter a day, and then you go to a little devotional booklet, and then you go to nothing. Your prayer time goes from an hour to 30 minutes to 15 minutes. God bless everybody. And now not praying at all. What's the shape of your heart? What's the condition of your heart? Have you allowed sin to be engraven into your tablet of your heart? What's the relationship and what's the results of trusting in others besides God? He tells us in verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed." Anytime God says cursed, we better take notice. That's something to avoid. "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm." If you do that and not trust God, and constantly are trusting man and trusting your own strength, then what's the result? "Whose heart departeth from the Lord." God's not talking in this chapter to heathens. He's talking to His children. And He's telling them, if you go down this path, you're cursed. And your heart is going to be departed from me. This is how our hearts are turned from the Lord. This is how sin begins to engrave deeply into our hearts. When we trust that human strength and we look to people rather than look to God. We expect people to be our rescuer than to be God to be our rescuer. We look for others to put our hope in and rather than putting our hope in Jesus. This is the turning of our hearts away from God. Verse 6 tells us about those who've departed from the Lord. Whose heart departed from the Lord. Notice verse 6. "For he," this pronoun he is talking about those who have engraved the sin into their hearts, but also it is talking about those who have allowed it to continue and now their heart has departed from the Lord. That's the he. "For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land, and not inhabited." Their life is pictured as living in a desert, not at an oasis, and being unable to enjoy the good things of God. Can you feel the weight of those words? When we put our hope and confidence in others and in this life, we are planting ourselves like a tree in a desert, an uninhabited salt land. We are literally removing ourselves from the blessings and the goodness of God. Now notice verse 7, a contrast. "Blessed," I like that. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Not cursed anymore, but blessed. "For he," who's this pronoun talking to? Who is this he? It's the blessed man whose strength is in the Lord, who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." There's a lot in this verse. The person who trusts the Lord, who trusts in the Lord, and trusts in the Lord's strength and puts their hope in the Lord, has a totally different outcome from those in verse 5 and 6. It doesn't say we're not going to have sin on our heart, but let's not let it be engraved with a, how does it phrase it? Point of a diamond and a pin of iron. That almost seems permanent. I know it's not. But it almost seems permanent in that illustration, in that image. But God's able to forgive sin. No matter how deep it is, no matter how long it's gone, God can forgive it if it's confessed. But God's saying here, if you trust me, if you put your hope in me, you look to me for joy and strength, you're going to have a different outcome than those who do not. For in verse 8 it tells us this person is like a tree planted by the water and has no need to fear. Oh, I like this port. Planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. When a drought cometh, they're okay because they're trusting in the Lord. But what that also tells me is no matter if we're a blessed person, a child of God, trials are coming. The heat's coming. It doesn't just come to the wilderness. It doesn't just come to the parched places. It doesn't just go to the salt land. It doesn't just go to the cursed. The heat also goes to the place of blessing. The place where you're planted by the waters. You ever experienced trials? You ever have challenges in life? They come. But when they come, if we do it correctly, we'll trust in the Lord. Lord, how am I going to get through this? Lord, how are we going to survive this? Lord, how, Lord, how? Where are you, God? He's there. Trust Him. Trust in His strength. Trust in Him. Put your hope in Him. You see, God is showing us that trouble will always come. Heat is always going to come. The question, though, is if we're planted in the desert where the heat comes or if we're planted by the water. If we're planted properly, then the leaves of those planted by the water, their leaves are going to remain green. And there is no need to worry in a time of drought. When the heat comes, these people are going to continue to bear fruit. This is a security I want. We try to secure our lives by trusting in ourselves, trusting in others. That's not God's plan. He wants you to trust Him. So as we get into this study, are you ready for a hard examination? Because each week, we're going to dig deeper into the spiritual heart's condition. Which life do we want? What outcome do we want? We can trust in ourselves and put hope in others and watch our life dry up under the heat of the trials of life. Or we can trust in the Lord and put our hope in Him and watch our life flourish when the trials of heat come. To put it this way, if we trust in the Lord when those trials come, when the heat comes, when drought comes, when we trust in the Lord, we'll still be bearing fruit. Our leaves will still be green. So if we're going through the heat, through trials, what does it show about us? Are we withering and wilting and falling away? It might be in the desert. It might be in a salted place. Or are you thriving? I don't know how I'm thriving, but I'm thriving. You're playing it by the waters. Through this series, we are going to be undergoing an examination of our heart. And prayerfully, as we study the Scriptures, we will get some actions of corrections that we need to take. And I pray we do. And I pray we're stronger from going through this study. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for leading this direction. It's not the path I wanted, but I know it's the path that you want. I know it's the path that I need. And Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to truly examine our spiritual hearts. And that you would open our eyes to changes we need to make so that we can be that blessed person and not that cursed person. Help us to learn how to diagnose the condition of our hearts. We love you, Lord. Continue to bless and help us through this storm. In Jesus' name, amen.